We're very grateful this morning to be back in the house of God, and God looked over us last night. He woke us up this morning and gave us this day that we've never seen before. And we're excited to have each of you in the audience, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. You're a very honored and distinguished guest of the audience, and we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. For we believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. We believe that the Bible has all the instructions we need to get to heaven, and we're trying to get there. How many of you want to go to heaven today? Yeah, it's a good thing to be ready to go to heaven. Now, what you're here, if you're visiting, you're experiencing New Testament pattern of worship. What we sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. We will take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We will pray. Men will lead the services. Men will preach. Men will usher. Amen. You would see us, you would hear us preach from the Word of God. We get verification because I have a man reading from the book for me, because we believe that the Bible is absolutely 100% right. Amen. That's the way the Christians worship in the New Testament. In the New Testament, there was only one church. There was no modern day denominational churches mentioned in the Bible. There's only one church in the Bible, and that church is referred to as the Church of Christ. There's also the teachings of the New Testament called the Apostles' Doctrine, the Doctrine of Christ. It's what Christ taught, and the New Testament is what we believe in the churches of Christ. We believe that the Old Testament is for our learning, and therefore we stick to it as a guide of how we to live. It's for how we learn, rather what we learn from the old. But the new is applicable for those of us who call ourselves Christians. The guidelines are in the new will or the New Testament. And so the will is of effect when the testator died. The New Testament came in effect when the one who died for it died, and that was Jesus the Christ, and he started a new way. When he started the new way, he had a new day. That was the first day of the week. That's why we're here today on Sunday. The new day of worship changed from old, from the seventh to the first. And then the new name was Christian. There were no Christians in the Old Testament. And then they had a new ceremony, and it was no longer the sacrificing of animals. The last lamb slain was Jesus the Christ, and then upon his command, we drink his blood in remembrance of him. That's why we're New Testament Christians. And it's good to be back at home, amen. I've been out to Lubbock, Texas, out in Great West Texas, where the big rattlesnakes are. Yeah. A lot of rattlesnakes. We had a wonderful time. Great people out there in West Texas, sound doctrine congregations that I was at, and they came from afar to hear the message. We had 8 baptisms, many restorations. It was a big revival more so than a gospel meeting, and so my wife was able to go with me, and she did not get sick the whole time. And I told her, I figured it out. I know what it's all about now. She needs some Tommy juice. Time with me healed her. But we had, I told her, I'm your medicine. But I'm glad she had a good week without being sick. She haven't had a lot of those lately. But yeah, she was able to spend the whole week with me, and she didn't get sick one time. And I was just excited about that. She better not come back home and get sick on us. So we're excited to have her feeling good, and we pray God will continue to bless her with the many challenges she had with her health. We are grateful for your prayers. Amen. We're grateful for your prayers. Looking at the man in the mirror is the theme of what we've been discussing over the last few weeks. Looking at the man in the mirror, we looked at the man in the mirror in James chapter 1, where we're talking about James chapter 1, and we're studying the book of James as a result of that. But the theme of that of this is looking at the man in the mirror. Verse chapter 1, verse number 21 through 25. The Bible says, "There wherefore laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save." I'm a reader. We'll catch up with me here in a minute.
But be ye doers of the word, yeah, and not hearers only.
He finally caught up with me in verse 22. I think he went to that the mechanical, what do you call that, high tech stuff, and now you need to go back to that page flipping. You know he ain't tech savvy. trying to use iPad up here. You better go back to your Bible.
Good for you to be home, Brother
Brooks. He said, welcome home, Brother Brooks. The truth is the truth. You know you've been using the Bible 50 plus years. How you going to change on me now? Let's start over verse 21 now. Wherefore, let apart all what?
All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word.
Now, here's what we receive: the engrafted word of God,
which is able to save your soul.
The word, the engrafted word, is able to save our soul. And that's what we got to understand, the word. Now, he says, verse 22, now be ye doers of the word,
and not
hearers only. Read on.
Deceiving your own self.
Read.
For if any be a hearer of the word,
be a hearer of the word
and not a doer,
he
is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
Now that's the mirror. He says, any be a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man who looks at himself in a mirror. Read.
For he beholds
and he see what he see. He look at what him see. He see himself. And he says what?
His way,
he go about his way.
And straightway. Forgetteth what
he did not
of man
take
he was.
He forgot what the mirror told him he looked like. So the word of God is the mirror. And the first lesson I talked about is that when you look in the mirror, you look in the mirror and you can only count it joy when you looked in the mirror and you did something about what the mirror said. Then secondly, we looked at the man who's blessed. The man who's blessed and to endure temptation will be the man or woman who can look in the mirror of God's word and make application to your life. And then today, if you look in the mirror, you have to see a man without respect. A man, chapter 2, a man without respect. My brethren, have not the faith of Lord Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, the Lord
now,
of glory.
Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory,
with respect
the person. Do, look in the mirror. Do we not have the faith of Jesus? If we have the faith of Jesus, then Jesus was not a respecter of person. Ask yourself, do you show respect to other people? Then if you do, you don't have the faith of Jesus. If one is a respected person, that person does not have the same belief as our Lord. Verse number 2.
For
the Bible says,
come unto your
Jesus explained, James explained what he mean by respected person. Now here's what he mean. He said, if there any come into your assembly,
a man with a gold ring.
With the gold ring. That's the first point that I want to make from this verse here is that it's obvious that's a Christian assembled. Here's evidence that the assembly was taking place. In Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of the saints. On this first day of the week, on Sundays, we assemble together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, he says, now, if any come into the assembly, if they're coming to assembly, a man with gold ring.
In goodly apparel.
He looks good, dressed nice.
And then there comes
this other man. He's comparing now the rich man to the poor man.
In vile arrayment.
And he said, if he come in vile arrayment, notice he says, and you, church, have respect to him
that weareth the
nice clothes and the gold jewelry.
And say unto him.
And he had respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. Well, you got to be careful today. That gay there, you got to be careful today because gay don't mean what it mean at the time.
No, that's real.
Amen. At the time when you say, I'm so happy and gay, I don't say that no more. Folk take you wrong. You gotta be careful. The same definition doesn't apply these days. I might be happy, but I ain't gonna say I'm gay. And by the way, you know, the thing about this is that when you look at this, this whole idea of homosexuality is sin. It's simply sin. It's not a lack of a love for anyone. It's sin is sin. You have to call sin sin. And that's what it is. And I hope anyone in here challenged by that you'll seek some guidance. And may you seek some guidance. Because really not funny. It's getting out of hand. It done got out of hand. And it got to the point to where men want to recognize men can marry men and women can marry women. And you know that goes against the law of God. That just goes against the law of God. That's not my message this morning. But since that word gay was in there, I thought I might plug that. Now you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing.
And say unto him, sit down in a good place.
And then You say to the poor,
stand thou there or sit here under my footstool.
I said they had ushers, it looked like, didn't they, in that assembly? Because they said, you sit here and you sit here. So he was saying that the respect was that the rich man could sit in a better place than the poor person. Notice what he said. Then he says, here's evidence that they must have, they say, are ye not been
partial in yourselves?
He asked a question. Now, if you select a person based on their dressing and their attire and how they look when they come into the assembly, he said, are you not then being partial in yourselves and become judges? Judges of evil thought. If you are partial, the Bible records, the mirror says, when you look in the mirror, if you are partial in your judgment of people, then you have evil thoughts. That's evil to be judged. That's what's wrong with racism. Amen. If you think one race is above another race. And don't let the psychology be reversed to the point where you're so against racism that you become a racist in the direction of your race. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You're so pro-black, you become a racist yourself. Because you want to say how they treated us and things like that. That's partial. Man, God don't look at us in color. He looks at us by, we all bleed the same blood. Amen. So be careful with that. And are you not then being partial yourself and become judges of evil thought? What thought? The rich man, the thought that this rich man deserves a seat that's better than the poor man. What kind of thought is that? That's an evil thought in the eyesight of God. That's an evil thought according to the mirror. When we look in the mirror, we understand that as children of God, we cannot have these type of evil thoughts. This is exactly what is happening in some of the modern day denominational churches, i.e. Joel Osteen. You can pay for these front seats. Yeah, it's not just him and many of these mega church preachers. If you want a front seat, you pay to play. You want to pay up, you want to sit closer, there's a charge for that. What are you saying? The rich man get a better seat because he got money. And that's an evil thought. It's an evil act. And so we're not going to be seating people at Harlem Heights based on how much money they give in the plate. And maybe some here will wish we would. But we're not going to do that because that's an evil thought. We don't have no special seating. Matter of fact, some of us get so caught up in our seat, we believe it's our seat. Somebody else come in, now, hey, what you doing in my seat? That old seat don't belong to you. Well, I give my contribution like everybody else. So, you ain't giving to us. The Bible says, if a man love the Lord, he gives back to the Lord according as he prosper. So let him give, not grudgingly of a necessity. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Now, we want you to give, but you got to give because the Lord wants you to give. Amen. Now, he did not gave us. God did not gave us. Amen, somebody. Amen. He gave his only son who hung on the old rugged cross. Amen, somebody. And so because he gave us, we have no problem giving. But be careful. When it looks at you looking at these type of things, you got to look at the man in the mirror. And I hope we don't have no people who see themselves in the mirror and they can't see that you are a respectable person. Amen. In verse 5, James said, hearken.
Hearken, my beloved brethren.
Listen, my brothers.
Has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?
Ask yourself, did not God choose the world, the poor of this world? Notice what somebody say, I'm poor. But notice what he's saying. The poor of this world are rich. But this is where you want to be rich at, not in Wells Fargo bank account. What you want to be rich in is God's bank account. And when you're rich in God's bank account, that means you're rich in faith, or rich in belief. Now, how do I become rich in faith? Well, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm rich in faith when I believe all of this book. Not some of it, not pieces of it. I'm rich in faith when I believe every word of the Bible. Notice when you're rich in faith, you become heirs of what?
To the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him.
If you're rich in faith, God said, I promise you, because of your faith, that you, I'm going to give you, you'll be an heir of the kingdom. In other words, you know how we say the mansion, we want our mansion robe and a crown, amen. And so that's a part of what comes, that God has promised to us a crown of life. He promised to us a mansion. He promised to us the street that's gold, the walls of jasper. God has made these promises. You can't buy it with money. You can't get your bias way into heaven. God don't give rich men an automatic ticket to heaven. God looks at those who are rich in faith. Are you rich in faith? Look in the mirror. What do you believe? Where did it come from? Many people have a faith that's not based on scripture. They have a faith based on mama's faith. Amen. A trusted faith handed down from my mother. Just I just like me, I grew up in the Baptist church. Not because it's in the Bible, but because that was my mama's faith and my daddy's faith. It was not a faith that we could read about in the faith. That just are in there. And somebody said, well, I'm disturbed by that. Don't be disturbed. Just look in the mirror and see. See, you're not disturbed when you look in the mirror and you see there's a bump on your face. It's still there, whether you agree with it or not. The mirror is telling the truth. You got to do something about it. The fact of the matter is, our faith cannot be on someone that we trust. The faith that we have to get to heaven must be in something we can read. It's called the Bible. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God, which is the mirror. So are you rich in faith? How many are rich? If you obey the faith, then that's the first step. Faith coming by hearing. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's what we stand on. What you believe is what you stand. It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. We've never seen hell. We've never seen heaven. Our hope is in something we read. This is not something you roll the dice on. So let's just roll. How many of y'all roll the dice lately? Anybody rolling dice? It used to be when I was growing up, they rolled the dice, they hit. What were those numbers? I'm kind of getting old now. what was it?
Snake Eyes. Seven.
What?
7-11.
How y'all know? Some of y'all still rolling dice. Some of them brothers talking about 7-11. Some of them real good at it. Just last night I hit a 7. Joe got a pocket full of money today because you hit 7. Do you win when you hit 7 or 11 or take both of them?
Take both of them.
You crapped out. Somebody's already crapped out. Well, that means you won or lost. I don't know. But here's the thing. But you know, here's the one thing. You can roll the dice for money, but you don't want to roll the dice on your soul. Amen. Because everybody don't hit 7, do they? Amen. Here's the thing about it is, we got to understand that when we start talking about getting to heaven, you all, you cannot go on anything other than this book. That's why in the churches of Christ, we're very narrow-minded. Somebody say, well, we're visiting with you, the Church of Christ, but we believe that any church will do. I understand that's a broad view. Any church we do, it don't matter. Long we all believe in Jesus, that's broad. That's broad. That is not what the Lord said. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and the verses number 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. Well, wide is the gate and broad is the way that lead to destruction. Many will go that way. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that lead to life. And he said, few there be defined there. Now you want to be in the few, and you want to be in the few, you got to narrow your thinking. You got to narrow right down to a book that's only written from God, that came from God, have the absolute truth in it. You don't want to face God with a broad view. You want to be narrow-minded. Why? In verse 21 of the same chapter, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, these are believers who's believing, these are so-called Christians who believe in the Lord. They believe in him as their Lord and their master. Notice what he says. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter heaven. These are believers who believe they're on their way to heaven. Jesus said, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many in that day would not. Many, there they are again. When in that day would, many in that day would say unto me, what? Lord. I'm trying to wait on my reader. Man, he just. Get your book, man.
I thought you had that.
Pride goes before the fall.
I thought he had that one down. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
In thy name?
And in thy name
have we cast out devils? They did it in the name. Notice these people. This is going to be the greatest shock on the day of judgment. Some believers are going to get to judgment and say, go ask God. Jesus said, here's what they're going to ask me. They're going to say, Lord, did we not do this in your name? He didn't say no. Did we not do it in your name? What is what he says?
And in thy name done many wonderful works.
Good people. Wonderful works are things like feeding the hungry, doing good to those in need. Those are wonderful works, not just works. These believers did wonderful works in the name of Jesus. But watch what the master say he going to say on this judgment day.
And then will I profess.
I'm going to profess to these believers.
I never knew you.
I had no relationship with you. I never knew you. That's going to be a shock. You can't say these were bad people. They did wonderful works. What is the problem? Their faith was not based on scripture. They were workers of iniquity. Let me give you some examples of workers of iniquity. If you are in a church built by a man, named after a man, never authorized by God. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart, their mind, is far from me. What is it, Lord? In vain, verse 9, they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. If you're in a church that man established and it's not in the scripture, it didn't come to God from God, that's an iniquity. It's lawless. It's lawlessness. Meaning, in other words, you have to be authorized or you've broken the law of God because you wasn't authorized to conduct a worship right the way you want to do it. I.e., we're not going to just worship any kind of way in this. We're in the presence of God right now in worship. And when we're in worship, we control our behavior just like you do in the courtroom. You control you. That's why you're not going to see people flopping down the aisle and running and jumping and waving over here. The Bible said do things decent and in order. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. This is the church of Christ. So when you look at that, you say, well, Brother Brooks, what are you trying to get us to see? Be careful about calling some faith that's not in scripture. Now, if you have a strong belief in God, then say amen, because you are strong, you're rich in your faith. And that's what I consider us in the Church of Christ. We're rich in faith. We got book, chapter, and verse for everything we do. Right from the name out on the sign. The name on the sign is in this scripture. Salute one another. Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The Church of Christ is not a name, but a descriptive phrase of the owner. It describes who owns the church. Who owns the church? Christ. So be careful. Now, as long as you love God and stay rich in faith, then you will get to heaven. In other words, don't let no one come to you with false doctrine or false teachings and without verifying that it's true what they're saying. Just because somebody says something, it can be something based on internet findings. It's something based on what mama said or what daddy said or what some philosopher say. And you look at in the schools today, in the colleges, the philosophers are trying to prove and making the students prove that there is no God or there is a God. Which is it? So how are you going to prove there is a God if you don't know what this book say? And so a lot of students go to college and they come back all messed up in their mind. That's why it's important for those of us in the Church of Christ to give our children a foundational belief from the scripture so they can't be shook up on the college campus over philosophy and vain babbling and rudiments of the world. Be careful about philosophy. We believe in doctrine, book, chapter, and verse. That's what we believe in. But then he says, so what are you saying? What I'm nailing down in the first part is that rich in faith means I got a holistic belief in the scripture. There are many people today, they want the Lord, they want Jesus, but they don't want his church. They want Jesus, but they don't want to take communion every Sunday. How are you going to look in this mirror here and hear Jesus say to your face, this you do remember to me? And then go away after if he didn't say it. That would be tragic. You stand there looking at the Lord. The command says, look in the mirror. Look at, here's what I see of you. Are you taking communion every Sunday? No, why? You say, well, it don't say how often. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Let's get Matthew 26:26 real quick. What are you dealing with today? Looking in the mirror. Letting the mirror reflect truth. Listen to the Bible says in Matthew 26:26, the book says what?
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples.
He gave it to who? Who did he give it to, y'all? Disciples. Who are we?
Disciples.
So these are the disciples that were living at the time Jesus was living. This is his last supper. The one on death row. The one before he dies. The one before he goes. This is his last meal. And he tells them this.
Take, eat.
This is my body. The disciples, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken.
This is my body.
Yeah.
And he took the cup.
Took the cup.
And gave thanks.
And gave thanks.
And gave it to them, saying.
He gave it to who?
Disciples.
The disciples, whom we should be. Watch carefully.
Drink ye all
of it. He told them to drink all of it. Look in the mirror. Read.
For this is my blood.
He said, now he didn't say this represents. Some people say, well, this represents. No, I don't say that. He said, this is my blood. Do we believe this is blood? Faith. Faith means I believe what it says. Is there blood in that water? I can't see it. But because we're washed in the blood, and the word of God say we're washed in the blood, and baptism is a washing. We believe when you step in this water, there's blood in there, and it's the blood of Jesus. Not that we see it, but that we read about it. So we take this, we believe it's blood. Read.
Which is shed for many for the remission of
sin. And we believe the blood is for the remission of forgiveness of sin. Now, go to Acts 20 and verse 7. Let's see if how often the disciples thought to take the Lord's Supper. Look in the mirror this morning. Look at the Bible. Acts 20 and verse 7. It says what?
And upon the first day.
Upon what day of the week?
When the disciples came together.
Upon what day?
The first day.
Upon what day?
First day.
Now, they assembled on what day?
First
the first
day.
What day is the first day? Sunday.
Sunday.
Well, if they assembled on the Sunday, if it was going to be on the first Sunday, when they say the first Sunday of the month? It didn't say that. Upon the first day of the week, the disciples who came together to break bread. So is there a first day in every week? Yes. So how often do we take the collection? Every first day. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. How often do we drink the Lord's Supper? Every first day. Why? It's in the law of God. So are we rich in faith? Yes. Why? Because we believe the scripture. Are you rich in faith? Have you looked in the mirror of the word of God? But Jesus, the Hebrew writer said, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. You can't take this chance on your soul. You got to believe that this book has the right answers. Look in the mirror. In verse number 6, go back to James, verse 6 here. It said, but you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you?
And draw you before the judgment seats?
Some rich back then were despising, oppressing, and even judging, taking people to court. Some rich folk today so greedy for money, they would do anything to get money. Some people, and you don't have to have to be a millionaire. You don't have to have a millionaire. You don't have to be a millionaire to be rich. And so America is a rich country. I mean, many of us live good. It's not that we got $1 million in the bank account, but none of us are hurting for money. We're hurting for food. Water and raiment. We got clothes. We got nice homes. But there are people out there who don't have anything. And so you say, I don't see myself rich. Are you rich compared to some of the folk? Amen. We throw away food. How much food do we throw away on the table that people could eat every week? We don't eat all the food. We cook more food than we can. Y'all had a Thanksgiving dinner, and you know it's too much food for us. It's just way too much food. How many of y'all did? We always say, man, your eyes bigger than you? And you see all that food on the table? We have a spread. We know we got more than we can eat. And there are people out there who would give anything just to have a crumb from a table. We need to pray for them. Then notice this part about the rich oppress you. He said, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before
the judgment
take seat. You before the court. You know, I have to warn us, be careful about always looking for a reason to sue somebody. There's some folk look for anything, man. They slip down in the store. You know you all right. Next thing you know, Kroger got more money than you, so let's take them to court. You know that's not right. That's wrong. And you have people faking back injuries so they can get a welfare check. That is so sad. When there are truly disabled people out there who need it, it's nothing more discouraging to me to see a grown man who's able to work faking a back injury so you can get a Social Security disability check. When there are people out there who are honestly hurt and can't work, the Bible says a man don't work, he don't eat. What he said, the sweat of our brow, man, that's a God-given command. We ought to work. And brother said, well, you know, I can't get a job. But what kind of job are you looking for? Here you are, dressed looking like a thug, trying to get a high executive level. How many of y'all met a doctor with his pants down and a do-rag on? Hey, what's up with you today? I just want to do an examination. By the way, let me check you out. That's what's up. Your blood pressure up. That's what's up. You feel me? How you going to go open a bank account and the banker, what's up? Come on in. Let's do some. You been doing some flossing? Been stacking lately? Hey, man, you throwing shade. Well, how many will hire a lawyer to represent you in court with his rag on, do-rag, stepping up, hey, what's up, Judge? Your Honor, show enough. This is my boy. This is my homie here. My dude, this dude cool. You see what I'm saying? Show enough. For real? Man, pull your pants up, take your do-rag off, and look decent. And you'll get a job. Well, I'm better than that. I ain't going to be in no ditch. You better dig a ditch. If that's what it takes, you get down in the ditch. Amen. $5 is better than no dollars. You land up in the house. They got some sisters that let him lay up in on you. You go out there, baby, and I'm going to lay up. I'm going to take care of your man. Can't even speak English good. I'm your man. I take care of you. I'm going to lay up in the AC all day while you bring the check home. Something wrong with that picture. Brother Brooks, man, that's taking advantage of the system. That's my point. And these are things that God is warning us of. And some folks get so caught up in money. And, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money. It's not wrong with having money. Thank God we got money. Amen. Those of us who worked and earned it, and we should be thankful that God has blessed us to give back according as we prosper. We should have no problem giving. Right. If God gave you a good job and he gave you means of income, be thankful enough to give back. When the plate comes around today, you will see at the churches of Christ, we don't send the plate around 10 times. Say, I'm going to put another 100 in. Anybody want to match it? No, we believe that God loves a cheerful giver, and the giver going to give right the first time. Yeah. I'm going to beg you for money. God don't need our money. Certainly, if God is on the cattle on 1,000 hills, don't you think he on the hill? Mm-hmm. Something to think about. What is God? You think God really need a dollar from us? For real? He just want to know, do you give back, you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. And what I want you to recognize in your giving is that you're giving because I've given. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Jesus said, greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. That's the reason we give back, my friend. He said, do not that they blaspheme that worthy name
by which ye are called.
If as Christians we have respect of person, we blaspheme the disgrace the worthy name of God. Notice verse 8.
If you fulfill the royal law, this is overlooked by so many people.
This thing called the royal law. Mm-hmm. You don't hear it talked about a lot. But look, the royal law is a law that fulfills the law of God. Notice what the royal law.
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
What?
Ye do well.
The royal law is we never wrong our late neighbor. Mm-hmm. Love of God would not allow us to wrong the neighbor. Mm-hmm. Anyone. Mm-hmm. People in your line. Not just your next door neighbor. Anyone sitting by you. Mm-hmm. We don't wrong other people. We are to love everyone, regardless of race, regardless of wealth, social status, or rank. Look in the mirror at yourself and see, do you have the love you need to go to heaven for your neighbor? Because that's a royal law. Mm-hmm. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. So how do I evaluate my love for my neighbor? Would I do to me what I'm doing to him? Mm-hmm. Would I do to my family what I'm doing to that family? Would I do to my friend what I'm doing to my, would I do to myself what I'm doing to my friend? Would I do to myself what I'm doing to my brother in Christ? That's your neighbor. Some folk wrong folk because they don't have the heart to love. The royal law is we're to love. God is love. James says in verse number 9.
But if you have respect to the person.
Notice that. That's sinful. You've committed sin we break this law. What law? The royal law. Respect the person and convinced of the law as transgressed is an important point. If you have respect the person, it's sin because you break the law of God. Verse 10.
For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Now watch him list them. And here's what the world is guilty of. Watch the list. Adultery.
For he that said, do not commit adultery.
Adultery.
Said do also, not kill. Do not kill.
Yeah, James said, the same one who said don't commit adultery. If you think murder is worse than adultery, he said, the same person said, the same one said it. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill,
thou art become
a transgressor
of the law.
Both of them are equally the same. The penalty comes with the word called sin. And this is what happens in the world. And this is what happens with a lot of people. You say, well, I ain't so bad because I ain't murdering and I'm not committing adultery and I'm not out in the world living. But you lie and you gossip and you whisper. And you're divisive. You sow discord. You're doing all these things. And that is the same thing as murder. It's called S-I-N. Sin is sin. Hating someone is sin. So what are you saying, Brother Brooke? When you look in the mirror, see the reflection of sin. Don't categorize it. Don't make one sin worse than others. Whatever sin you die in is a sin unto death. So he says, so speak ye and so do.
As they that shall be judged by the law of liberty.
Now, what law is he talking about? The law of liberty. And that's in James chapter 1 we read earlier. He said, whosoever look in the perfect law of liberty. Now, this is the law of liberty. This is the mirror, the glass you look in. And when you look into it, speak ye and so do. As they that shall be judged by the law. What do you mean? In John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejected me and receiveth not my words have one that judgeth him. Watch what he says. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge you. See, do you realize when you look in the mirror, you're getting judged? This book going to be open. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which was the book of life. The 66 books of the Bible are going to be open on the day of judgment. We're being judged every time you look in the mirror. It's telling you, you're in sin. It's telling you, it's placing judgment on you. So be careful by rejecting the Lord. So if many people reject the truth, if we live our lives according to the word, we should never have a respect to person, and we won't reject the word of God. Verse number 13, for you shall have judgment without mercy. That hath not showed no mercy, have mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Because all of us will need mercy on the day of judgment, so we should now be showing mercy to our neighbor. Royal law. Mm-hmm. It's always better to take the low road when it comes to our neighbors. Do what we got to do to make it right in the eyesight of God. That's what we are to do as children of God. Why? That's the royal law. For we gonna want mercy in our daily lives, and God said, if you don't know how to show mercy, how you want mercy? Mm-hmm. Look at what he says there. But what does it profit, my brother?
Though a man, if a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him?
Now notice what he says. Now he poses a question. Say, if a brother, man, call me, man, I'm a man of faith, really. But he said, you don't have no works. Can that just believing save you? Notice what he said. If a brother,
or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?
He just made a simple application. Somebody come in hungry and they say, they need something, they hungry, and you say to them, I understand you're hungry, go on out, go on. And you didn't give them nothing to warm them up. You know, you didn't give them nothing to eat. He said, what good did you do the person? Notice what he says.
Even so,
now, if you understand that.
If it has not worked.
If you believe and you don't do.
Is dead. Being alone.
Be ye what? Doers of a word not.
Hearers only.
Notice he said,
Yea, a man say, thou hast faith.
Thou hast faith.
And I have works. Show me thy
James
faith,
says, show
without
me your faith
thy works.
Without works,
I will show thee
I'm
going to
show
faith
you my faith.
My
how he going to show us our faith? By works. Notice what he says. But thou believest that there is one God. That's faith. The devils believe.
Well.
The devils believe. The devils believe. That's faith. They tremble. They believe to the point that they tremble. But they don't obey God. But will thou, old man, now no,
vain man, faith without works,
don't you know
dead.
that life, this vain person, this meaningless life you're living, faith without doing something is dead? Amen. Our faith says we do what God's word say do. It's the mirror. You look in the mirror and the mirror tell you, you need to be baptized. Do it. You say, Brother Brooke, you got to believe that baptism saves. And the reason I'm using that, because the world has taken this word work, and say, all we got to do is believe. That's faith only. That's what they do. That's faith only. What James is proving is that faith means I do what God say do. Baptism is not a work in the sense of a physical labor. It is an obedient act. Mm-hmm. So work is obedience. Is it? We have an active, obedient faith. That's why we're here on Sunday morning. You can't look at driving to worship as a work. That's an obedient act. Such as baptism is an obedient act. The denomination world has messed this up so they can teach baptism is not essential. But if baptism is not essential, this book is no good to us, because Jesus never said that. If baptism is not essential, Jesus didn't know it. Because he said in Matthew 28:18, go teach, all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15-16, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, he that believe in his baptism. baptized shall be saved. Peter didn't know it. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, baptism does also now save us, not to put away the filth of the flesh, but answer to a good conscience. Peter said again in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Paul didn't know it. Romans 6:3 said, no, you're not. There's so many of us baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized in his death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall rise and walk in newness of life. Ananias didn't know it, because he told Saul in Acts 22:16, arise, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. Galatians 3:26, Paul said, for ye all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Many of you have been baptized into Christ and put on baptism. Paul didn't know it. Ephesians 4:4, he said, there is one Lord, one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is above all and in you all. So who told us, since Jesus didn't know, Peter didn't know, Paul didn't know, who in the world said baptism wasn't essential? It's a vain man whose faith is not based on scripture. In the church of Christ, we baptize you not 2 weeks later. Because 2 weeks later, if you were baptized 2 weeks later, that just means their faith says all you had to do, believe. And we'll baptize you later, because baptism is just an outward sign of in with grace. They ain't in the scripture nowhere. That clause, that phrase, outward sign of in with grace, is not even in the book. Where did that come from, Brother Brooks? Man. But here in closing, here's James. James says, he mentions two, Abraham and Rahab, as I close. Well, not Abraham,
our father, justified by works
when he had
offered Isaac,
so
his son.
So God told him
altar.
To go off Isaac, and he offered Isaac. Y'all can go read this, Genesis 22. Seest thou how
faith wrought with his works.
So it caused what caused work, what he
perfect.
Did, what God told him to do. And the scripture fulfilled, notice this,
which
Abraham believed
God.
That's faith.
And it was imputed unto him.
And God imputed unto him as a righteous man because he believed what God. Now, I don't know how God referred to him.
And
he was called
the friend of God.
And here's another thing I want to drop. If we are friend of God, then we're doing what's right. That's how you become a friend of God. You do what's right. Are we friends? Well, a friend loveth at all times. Question becomes, when can Christians not be friends? When can Christians not be friends? Well, let's ask another way. When can Christians not love each other? Never. If a friend loves it at all times, we best be friends. Because if we're friends, then we can be friends with God. Because that's what's right. And Jesus even brought it right down to the enemies. He said this. Love your enemies. That's what he said. He laid down his life for his friends. Who was his friends? His enemies. And so when can we say we don't need to be friends and be biblical, be scriptural? There's no occasion where we cannot be friends. Mm-hmm. Just like there's no occasion that God's going to be pleased with us not loving each other. Mm-hmm. He was called the friend of God. Whatever God commands to be his friend, you do it. You see then how that by works a man is
so justified.
So now he said, now you understand, it's the work, the obedience. It takes both belief and works, faith and do. Believe the word and do what the word say. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Then you go to the next one as I close.
Likewise also was Rahab, the harlot, justified by works.
When she had received the messengers. This is
in
Joshua chapter 2. You can go over and read it. But basically what she did, she received the messengers and then sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The woman Rahab was a harlot in the Old Testament. And what she did, she had faith in what God said. She obeyed and protected the messengers of God. So what's the point, James? Just like our physical body is dead without spirit, our spiritual body, our belief, our faith is dead when we don't do what the mirror say do. Amen. Looking at the man in the mirror. Have you done what the mirror say do in order to make your robe white? Well, you say, Brother, what I got to do? You first got to believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. That son came down and lived 33 years thereabout. And he was an innocent man. They found no fault with him. And the people said, crucify him. Crucify him. And of course, Pilate had him whipped with a whip called a flagellum. They beat him. And from the stripes, according to Isaiah, the stripes, or what came from the stripes, is healing power. And what came from his stripes of the whip was blood. Then they took him and he carried across up a hill called Calvary. On top of that hill, Jesus was nailed to a tree with hands, with nails in his hands and in his feet. For 6 long hours, our Savior would suffer on the cross. The Bible said, Hebrews 5 and verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to one group of people. That's them that obey him. Hanging on the cross, he looked out at his enemies and he asked God to forgive him. He asked God to forgive him. He looked out at us. He was looking at all of us and he was dying for our sins according to the scripture. And then when he died on the cross, he suffered. He didn't just die. He was crucified. He was executed by crucifixion. And God, the Father, watched him. And the reason I know God, because Jesus cried to him and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken? So God left him on the cross for us. And then when he died, they pierced him in the side. Out came blood and out came water. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. But ladies and gentlemen, early Sunday morning, he got up with power, and all power was given to him in heaven and earth. And he said this, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Preach the gospel. Tell them I suffered. Tell them I died and was buried and rose again. If I be lifted up, I'll draw him. And he's calling you this morning. Come unto me, all you that labor and laid, and I will give you rest. He said, brother, what I got to do? I want to obey the truth. I want to move by faith. I've been going through a lot of things. I need God in my life. And Jesus is calling you through this message. You hear it, number one, Acts 15, verse 7. You hear the word of the gospel and believe. You hear, you believe, you repent right where you are and say, I'm not leaving today without being a child of God. We will bear, that's repentance. And Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you're going to perish. And after that, you must make a confession. It's found in Acts 8:37. The man wanted to be baptized, and Philip asked him if he believed. And the man replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to do that today, Jesus made this confirmation in Matthew 10:32. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So today, if you want to come down, we want you to come to the front. We're going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you say in the affirmative, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we immediately prepare you for baptism. And in baptism is where your sins are washed away. You contact the blood of Jesus. In the baptism pool is blood and water. The same thing came out of his side is the same thing you must do to be washed and be cleansed. If you'll come this morning, here's the thing about it. If you're coming, remember, come because you and I all need Jesus in our life. Would y'all agree to that? And if you need Jesus, then no matter what you're going through today, you maybe came in with a heavy heart, you're going through a lot of things, but learn to lean on Jesus. And when you lean on Jesus, that means you give your life to him and you lean and you depend on him to get you through your storms, get you through your trials, take care of your doctor reports, make sure you're okay, deal with your enemies, soul of God's unchanging hand, learn to lean on the Lord. You do that, your first start is obedience in baptism and then live faithful unto death. If you're going to come, we want you to come as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Learning to lean, I am learning to lean, I am
today is a good day to come.
I'm learning.
Come on to the Lord. Come to the Lord.
On, yeah.
Learn to lean on Jesus.
I am finding more power than
to come to the Lord this morning. Come on. Come on, learn to lean on him. Give him your life. Let him in your life. Let him in your life. Come on to the Lord. Let him in your life. Come on to him. He's calling this morning. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to the Lord and lean on him. Learn to lean on him. Give him your life. Give him your life. Make that confession. Make the noble confession. Then you'll find power. You'll find power in him.
I'm learning to